Because I don't have the age, I don't inspire the age you do.
Well, a little bit sometimes, yeah. I mean, like if I speak Italian, yes, like I speak really Tuscan, you know, like very, very thick Tuscan accent.
Yeah, I believe I've lost a bit of that. If you meet me in normal life, and I believe I'm speaking just Italian, because traveling up and down from the Italy, and it's kind of normal to lose the accent.
Yeah.
And because some people, they don't get you when you talk in Tuscanian, okay? Mm-hmm. So you really need to speak Italian when you are in the southest part or the northern part.
And I mean, like you are not even from exactly from Florence. I am, but like you actually live. I mean, you were born and raised in between the Florence area, but also Pisa's area. So I mean, like,
you're
in the middle of accents. So the H thing is actually a thing more like in Florence. Where you get out of the more you get out of Florence, it's actually you lose that kind of accent. You know.
Yes, in Pisa they have a kind of Romanian flow, because we cut. A couple of words in Pisa. You can hear most of the words changing, basically.
Yeah.
And I was born in Samignato, which is in the exact middle between Pisa and Florence. So I don't have the Pisanian accent and Florence neither.
Yeah, I would say that Pisa's accent is a coast accent, like his Livorno accent, for example.
Yes,
but you know, this is not an episode about accents. This is actually a new episode of the Corner L'Angolo di Gabe, and today I have again my friend Sam Nuvolari. But today we are not speaking about Sam Nuvolari as an artist, because we already done it last time a few episodes ago. Today we talk about his other project, Ghost Factory Record, which is, as you heard, a record label, an independent record label for rock, punk, alternative music.
Not only,
so like expanding to new genres. And today we...
A new kind of art, if you allow me to say that.
Arts, yeah, not only music, like every kind of arts. Audiovisual arts, definitely.
Yes.
And... today, Sam is going to talk to us about a new deal that they just scored last week, a very important deal, and also a little bit how the record label world works, you know, like how it works, you know, like how you produce a CD from creating music to recording music, you know, like, you know, he probably the best person to explain this kind of process. So, hi, Sam, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you, Gab, for having me in your podcast. And yes, today you're having a conversation with Samuele Matta, which I'm the president of Ghost Factory Records and Arts. We are a record and visual art label, and we are based in Empoli, which is a metropolitan city of Florence. And we are three people in the directory of the brand, because we are we are actually starting to talk about it like a brand, not more like a record label or any kind of label, because we are starting selling paintings and sculptures. I mean, the exportation of them in Europe, because we are based in Tuscany, so we are I believe, the major region in the whole world to be able to get into this kind of business. So we started this new project with Tommaso Marchiani, which was the bass player of
30 Miles.
Yes, and so that's why you're not talking with Sam Nuvolari this this day. And yes, we started in 13, and it was, yeah, you know, you remember when how it was during those times, you know.
I was there. I was still there when you guys created it. I wasn't in Canada yet. I was still in Italy. So.
Yeah. Actually, it was on me only managing the label, and that it wasn't at all a label at the time. I was just a booker, a promoter for European bands, European do-it-yourself bands, and I really was into punk rock and hardcore music and alternative music. So I just wanted to bring them to play into our town. Mm-hmm. And I've just developed this ambient or this kind of
environment
activity,
right?
Yeah, no, it was more an activity because there was not a big environment, there was not an ambient or a scene. And a couple of friends, they just started recording and producing records, and so I started to release them. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was like a game, very easy sometimes because, you know, do-it-yourself bands are not so professional, you know, it's pure heart. And but when we got with 30 Miles the deal in Japan with Bellson Records, I just started keeping on releasing more records for more artists because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen if you release something in a particular window of time. So, it was a pleasure. It still is a pleasure. And I'm still releasing records, not as much as in past, I mean, but... You know, we're still focusing in finding the right bands, the right artists, you know, people that put really themselves into what they do.
So more distributing right now. I mean, like still promoting, also some recording, but the most is distributing right now, probably.
No, it's yes, also distributing, but we are focused on the publishing section, which is not only... selling, but it's more project management, and then you release the record and you work with the distribution company to have, you know, an editorial engagement with the media, with radios and TVs and series and stuff, you know. All the world in the editorial stuff.
Now, before we actually get into, you know, like talking about the process of, you know, like producing, publishing, distributing, you know, music or art, you know, like that's talk that we can have, you know, about many other business, not only music, you know, like that's actually really, really, really. Expandable to the whole art. But what I want to ask you now, that it's the new deal that you guys scored and signed a few days ago. That's actually big. You were telling me that's a big deal that you guys signed last week, right?
Yes. It is for us because it's 5 years exclusive deal with Pyramus International. And they were an American, a US company, which was distributing really big artists like Moby and The Prodigy. And they actually moved to Europe, and they've been acquired by another Italian company, but they are still Pyramus International. And they also released Paola Chiara in Italy.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. So, yeah. Which, okay. you know that, but I believe most of the people in US, they don't.
They don't.
And yes, but, you know, we are talking about golden and platinum records, and which is a big thing. I mean, mm-hmm. And we signed for 5 years. And it allows us to publish and distribute all our catalog in the whole universe, because we are not all talking about the worldwide in 2020. We are getting into something more, because, you know, if SpaceX they do you know, or
NASA
yeah. You know, that's maybe better, and if they bring some music to the International Space Station. I mean, who's gonna who is gonna pay for the copyright?
Yeah,
who's going? Yeah, you know, if the astronaut gets gets a couple of three of our songs, even, or yeah, records, maybe it could be really, really interesting to have our music in the space. So yeah, they're gonna pay us anyway.
Okay, that's good. That's good news, and that's pretty interesting. So it means that nowadays, not only Pyramus International, but also all the other labels,
yes,
and distribution companies, they have to let you sign a contract that is available. Open marks all over the universe, in the sense that, like, if an astronaut or somebody anyway, like that is not on Earth, you know,
like,
it's on the, you know what I mean, like, I'm trying to keep it real, you know, like, let's say, you know, an astronaut on the
I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking too. Let's say an astronaut in the International Space Station wants to hear some music. The company needs to be able to charge copyright to somebody, not knowing in which country you are, because you are actually outer space. You need to have copyright paid also if you're not on this planet, you know, like...
I mean, you need to have a copyright, your copyright covered for the space.
Yeah.
I mean, because if a bunch of people is listening to your music in the space, and you're not going to get money if you don't have a universe wide distribution. So if you do, then it's cool.
And in the case, you know, like, the aliens eventually come out, you know, like, come clean and say, oh, look, we are here, but we want to listen to your music, you know, like, we got you guys covered, you know, like, copyrights.
Yeah. You guys gotta pay for you cannot escape from that.
You cannot escape taxes wherever you go. You
have to pay, exactly.
You have to pay taxes. Yeah, but yeah,
you gotta, you
can call it like that, right?
Yeah, you'll have Spotify CEO knocking down your door and, sorry, Martian, you gotta pay your bill for the monthly subscription.
Oh, we don't discriminate. We charge every person, no matter what race, religion, or species you are. You know, like, as long as you listen to our music, we charge you. But yeah,
as long you get sounds from oxygen, you gotta pay for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, going back to being serious, because this was a funny parenthesis, but like
funny moment,
a funny moment. Like, let's speak about the process of since producing, you know, like, recording, producing, and publishing and then distributing. Like, where does Ghost Factory Records stand in this chain? I mean, this process, like, where you guys put your business, like, in the recording, producing, publishing, or distributing? You talk about publishing, but I think you have a little bit more than that, right? I mean,
yes, I do. And I believe a label is a really good project. Let's talk about this. Have real solid basis when you start working from the beginning of the process. So from not only recordings, but even writing. So it's really important to have an artistic producer working mm-hmm. with you, trying to pull out from you all the emotions you have to write the music, mm-hmm. the record down. Because we are not talking about records anymore. We are talking about music because we are, at the moment, we are doing vinyls only. We are not doing CDs anymore. Sometimes we do tapes when we are working on a retro or a vintage style record.
But you guys do digital, right? Digital,
obviously, yes. Yes. Yeah. And, but I was, like I was saying earlier, the really solid part is to have your artist covered when it comes to writing down all the things. And I mean, the first thing an artist the first thing you're going to do usually is to write down all of your thoughts, which is a very long diary sometimes, and you gotta cut a lot from that, and we usually work on the highlights of mm-hmm. this kind of diary, so the artistic producer can work on that with the artist, and the artistic producer is very linked with the label because we have collaborators doing mm-hmm. that kind of jobs mm-hmm. of job, and so we are like, it's our way of scouting people, and yeah. but in the end we are all friends, so we know who's gonna be the next one, who's gonna, you know. And so the real thing is sometimes to go and choose the right producer, because mm-hmm. Sometimes you could even have a very talented artist and a talented producer, but if they don't match each other, it's all gone. And so you gotta have a really solid vision of what you're doing and what you're going to do. Yeah. So there's no space for not planned things sometimes, because the artist is gonna be the artist, yeah. and you gotta be the manager. So it's like taking care of another part of yourself. Because mm-hmm. I'm an artist too, so I know how it feels to be free, completely free in writing what you feel without any kind of, of chain. You know, yeah. you don't need to have chains to do that, yeah. and you don't need to be linked to a record label or something. Yeah. But it's very required to collaborate with mm-hmm. people, each other, to reach a goal. Mm-hmm. That's it. And sometimes we do start working on the done production, mm-hmm. On the really already made production, because the artist just wanted to produce it with his own producer or her own producer, and so we are going to work in that case only on the publishing and distribution and promotion.
Now, before I get to the end, I mean, before we actually wrap it up and close this episode, I have a couple of questions for you that I'm curious, because like I happen to listen to your podcast that you produce and release in Italy, the new music of the 2020 of the years 20, you know, like, so as you call it, like, and I really like the second. I mean, I like the first episode too, but your second episode is really interesting because you talk with your guest that is a very expert person. I mean, an expert representative of the recording arts. You know, of the record studio, record label distribution, and you under you and him both, like you and your guest, very highlight the importance of today's home studio recording, you know, compared to the past, where in order to produce your own your own music, your own CD or even tape, if you're talking about like 30, 40 years ago, tape, then CD, you know, like you really needed to go to a professional studio and you needed money, time, you know, like now, and you needed to learn, first of all. Now it's a bit easier and it's a different impact on music when you do the home studio recording, right? Like if you can, if you can tell me about that, you know, like, please.
Yes. Well, home recording in 2020 is really reliable. I mean, technology is at its maximum, I believe. And so you don't need maybe, I mean, I do have amplifiers because I was playing during the early 2000s. But, you know, most of people, they don't have amplifiers. They do have preamps. They do have DI box and stuff. So it's a bit different, but they aren't still matching the quality level on the recordings. And then you probably really need a mixing and mastering studio to get to have the depth and the level of a really you know, professional record. That's the whole fact. Yeah. I mean, if you need to make an A release, which is the maximum pop music,
the commercial music,
not just commercial, because we are going to sell it, but I mean, not the commercial style of music.
Yeah.
Indie music is still commercial.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
If you need to make a really big album, then you maybe need to spend some money.
Yeah,
on that. But you can do it with two, three keys, maybe something more. If you use the home recording style, but you know, I do appreciate both kind of works because it depends of what you're doing. If you're doing lo-fi music, it's really good if you have an recording studio. But if you're doing pop music, dance music, or songwriting music, I believe you gotta enter a big studio to get out with a hit song.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's say that the home recording style is good for demos and let's say first experience album, and it's a great, it's a good, great door opener, door crusher. But after that, then you wanna step up and go to a recording studio. Let's call the home recording a very good door crusher for the music and the visual arts world, right?
It's true, but not only because Billie Eilish, she did a really cool record in a home recording studio, in her home recording studio with her brother, and I believe they actually mixed it with Interscope or some of their collaborators, and to get the depth and in for it. So you could even do major records with home recording with those kind of hardwares, you know. But I believe you need a big studio to do you know, a breakdown release.
Yeah, it also depends how good is the quality of your home recording studio. I saw home recording studios that look like professional ones, and I saw a few of them that look like you are in your little bedroom and you are having a hobby. That's it. But there are a few home recording studios that look professional to me, very professional to me.
I mean, you gotta have a professional home recording studio for doing that. And which is really required. If you're only doing demos, then you can use Audacity to record or something, you know, but that's not something you're gonna bring to a big studio to do mixing and mastering, because you could do it actually if you are recording ringtones or something
or a podcast. I mean, this is my home.
Yeah, but
I have a microphone and my headphones and my laptop. But then, you know, like, I'm in my place. I'm lucky that I have a good audio here. But other than that, you know, it's my place, you know?
Yeah, but your room really looks like a studio. I mean,
oh, thank you.
It's a studio room. Yeah, yeah, because you got...
It's my living room.
A cool one.
Thank you. It's in the basement, so the basement keeps the audio very good, you know, like
I'm in a basement too, and which is really, really cool for the sound. And I just discovered a couple of weeks ago, because I'm working with a Tuscanian lo-fi beatmaker, and I'm recording some vocal tracks, and it was really, really interesting, because it's not you don't get too much of feedbacks or stuff, you know. And it's just at least I have a warm sound.
Okay, I have the last question for you today, Samuele. Not Sam, because Sam Nuvolari is your artist name when you are a songwriter. Now we're talking to businessman Samuele Matt, as you said. So, Sam, I call you Sam because Samuele is too long, but Sam, he's...
yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's long. I'm Gabriele, but they call me Gabe. I call you're Samuele, but I call you Sam. Is that okay?
Yeah, we are so lazy.
Yeah, we don't want to use our full name. Yeah, but yeah, Sam. Sorry, I was about to start speaking Italian. I don't know why that sometimes comes up. You know, like I have to switch language when I'm at work. I speak English because, you know, in Canada, English is the first language. But then I talk to my friends and family back home in Italy, and I speak Italian. Then sometimes I speak Spanish with my Spanish friends from South America. So it's all it's all like a big confusion in my head sometimes, you know. But yeah,
no, don't worry.
Going back to the podcast, going back to the last question I wanted to ask you. You mentioned that you started the label as a punk rock or alternative rock record label. So can you tell me what changed from back there when you only wanted to, let's say not only, but when you wanted to produce more like alternative rock and punk rock to now that you produce lo-fi, you produce, you know, like different kind of music. So if you can tell me the difference, what changed from then to now, you know?
Okay, let's say when I was into punk rock, I was really young, so and it was really, I was very excited to be part of that. But after 10 years, I can say I'm not feeling to make experimentations on that kind of music, and I've moved into avant-garde music and lo-fi music, cyber synth music, and R&B music, which we are producing at the moment. So I hope you'll be able to hear something really soon. But you know, when you get older, maybe you feel that it's time to chill it.
I completely feel you.
Yeah, because you gotta do something that represent you. Okay, so I need to keep on with that, I believe music trends and styles. When you are a small record label and you are into the punk rock scene, it's obvious that you're not looking for money. You're not looking for anything else than having fun. But when you start playing the hard game in the business scene, okay, you gotta pay attention of what you're doing, because you're gonna shut the brand down like the year after. So you gotta be careful, and you really need to check where you're, to double check when mm-hmm. or triple check when where you're putting the money into. Mm-hmm. So it, and most of it, you gotta triple check the time you're using, mm-hmm. because that the real gold. That's the real gold, your time. And if you're spending time developing something that's not going to make you earn money to maintain the boat on the water, you're not going to survive, you know. Mm-hmm. So lo-fi music, luckily for me, it's because I really like it. It's a new trend, so mm-hmm. We are really excited to get into it, and that's why we changed, mm-hmm. and because it represents me and us, and it's you know, the kind of music that mm-hmm. that can give you something mm-hmm. in terms of commercial things.
No, I mean, I completely understand you. I mean, like, you know, that you and I are friends because we both liked the same music at the time, alternative rock and punk rock. We also went to concerts together. We went to watch Blink-182, and the day was also, you know, All Time Low, Sum 41, and Simple Plan. And then we went to watch NoFX together. I mean, I still have like a great memory of that concert. Like, it was you, Dan, Sammy, and I. And we spent the night.
Danny, and Sammy. Yeah, even Sammy.
Yeah, okay. we were four. And we spent the night in a trashy motel in Sesto San Giovanni, close to Milan.
Yeah.
We looked like we were actually going in tour, not that we were actually going to watch a concert, but
yeah, very similar.
Yeah, it was we were young, you know, we were young and rebellious, let's say, or wannabe rebellious anyway.
Well, I still like 200 BPM music.
I listen to more folk, for example, and I really love folk. Like, and when I was in my 20s, I would never thought I would like folk, but I do like it now. And I listen to some lo-fi as well. And in some like folkish indie music, but not really indie rock. Indie rock, I consider it past as well, but that's only my judgment. Anyway.
Oh, well, I consider trap old as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that.
We're going into something else. At least I believe that punk rock gave to people really something.
Yeah.
Because if you pay attention, the Z generation, they are not really feeling or passing through what we passed. So I believe trap music are representing mm-hmm. some kind of emotion which does not exist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it leaves the time it takes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Today I'm getting name confused, languages confused. Anyway,
yeah,
Sam,
me too.
I've been recording today also for my other channel, the one that I speak Italian, and it's about soccer. Is the one about Fiorentina that it's actually going great. I had an interview with an Inter Milan YouTuber today. It was very fun. That's why I'm switching languages and I'm getting name confused, but. Anyway, Sam, thanks for being here. It was very interesting.
Thank you, Gav, for the interview.
It was great to hear the, you know, hands-on experience of somebody like you.
Sorry.
I mean, somebody like you was amazing.
I'm having a lag, so I'm...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, no, I was talking while you were talking on... Okay, so I didn't get a couple of things.
Oh, no, I meant... that I am really happy that you've been here talking about your experience in recording, distributing, publishing, and producing.
Thank you, Gab.
It was amazing. I wish you the best of luck with Ghost Factory Record, and I hope we'll talk soon again.
Yeah, for sure, Gab. I'm Oh, follow my podcast, because we are going to make another giant interview.
So nice. I'll follow your podcast.
You're going to like that, because it's about management. So I believe.
I do like it.
You'll be a fan of it.
Okay. But yeah, thank you guys.
I'll be watching the guy. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry, we are actually lagging together. So.
Okay. And I'll be watching the next episode of your podcast, because I'm really interested in what people think about soccer, because I was a soccer player when I was young, and I felt the giant difference before and after the mainstream internet explosion of the soccer, because you know, it was different back in times, even the playing.
Yeah, the other one is not really a podcast, it's a vlog, it's a video blog.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube. I'll send you the link. It's it's actually my first YouTube channel, because it's more popular than the podcast itself. I mean, the podcast is popular in the audio version, it's getting its audience, which I'm really very happy, but it's hard to have a podcast on YouTube because podcasts are way too long. So I have to find another function for the podcast channel. But the soccer one, the Fiorentina one, is going very well. So I'll send you the link. But guys, thank you for being here and listening to this episode. This was another episode of the Corner L'Angolo di Gabe. We had Sam, and so thank you, Sam, for being here.
Thank you, Gab. Thank you for having me in your podcast.
If you like the podcast, put like and subscribe. If you didn't like it, please leave a comment and with constructive criticism, and let me know what I could do better, because it's always nice to have a constructive criticism so I can improve my performance. Thank you, everybody. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube. Thank you and have a great day, guys. Bye, Sam.
Bye, good night.